You should go by the hospital and spend a few hours in the tank. You've had a hard fall and you're sore. It'll heal.
We'll have crew changes.
You can't go until after the hunt dinner and ball. We have to finish out this much of the season or it will be suspicious. You notice that no one comments on what happened? But Mr. Smith is safely contained. I've offered to take him home since we already officially know. We'll stay until the hunt dinner and leave the next day. I always stay for the first hunt dinner.
Harris found this confusing, since in the books she'd read, there was only one official hunt dinner per hunt club. But presumably, Bunny did things his own way. And with such a long season, perhaps most people didn't stay for the whole thing. Cecilia patted her shoulder. Harris tried not to wince.
Now go spend a few hours in the tank and ask Sari to give you a good rub down. Petrus will be in the green hunt, Neil says, by day after tomorrow, and you'll feel much better by then.
Harris didn't want a rub down from Sari. She wanted a pleasant night with Petrus. But with her bruises, it wouldn't be pleasant. At least she could use the trip to the hospital to check on everyone.
When is this hunt dinner?
End of next week.
Cecilia took a few twirling steps that startled Harris.
I may be old and plain, but there's no law that says I can't dance.
Harris thought of dancing with Petrus and felt her bones begin to melt. She would manage not to hunt in the next week. She didn't want to risk missing that. It might even be worth the hours in the regen tank. She was in the tank, trying to relax as the technicians fussed over her bruised arm and leg, when one of the things Cecilia had said brought her bolt upright, splashing. She looked at the technician, whose expression contained all the words he had managed not to say.
Sorry. Bad memory.
Cecilia had said they were going to transport the prince home. That meant... She squeezed her eyes shut and thought about it. Would Ronnie stay here? Surely she wouldn't have that pair on her ship at the same time. The last week passed in a flurry. Cold blue days, icy nights, glorious rides across the open land the green hunt favored. Harris had come out of the tank with more than her bruises healed and suspected Cecilia of telling someone to load her IV with mood elevators. Either that, or the old books were right when they described the glow of lovers riding stirrup to stirrup at a gallop. They could talk again, she had discovered.
And what are you wearing to the ball tomorrow?
A dress.
Harris could feel herself starting to chuckle in anticipation, a quiver that Petrus must surely recognize. He tapped her nose with his finger.
A dress? Amazing. I thought fox hunters wore skins and furs to a ball. Or horse hides or something equally barbaric. What are you laughing about? Are you wearing a fur dress?
No, but I won't tell you. You'll have to see it.
An extravagance, which she had not intended, but it had made an excuse to miss one day's hunt. It made a sizable hole in the salary Cecilia had yet to pay her. She could hardly wait to see Petrus's face when he saw her in it. Harris had not meant to wait until the day of the hunt dinner to tackle Cecilia about the changes needed in the ship, but there never seemed to be time. But she had made promises to Petrus and the others. She had to make sure Cecilia understood before they actually boarded. The argument, she was sure it would be an argument, must be private. She slithered into her own gown and shook her head at the image in the mirror. The beaded bodice shifted color with every movement, shimmering. The soft pleats of the midnight blue skirt were spangled with random beads, as if the bodice had dripped fire onto it. And she looked very unmilitary, she decided. Very unmilitary. She found Cecilia almost dressed, and fiddling with the amber necklace she favored. A flounce of ivory lace refused to lie properly beneath it.
I need to talk to you about the ship.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong.
So what is it now?
Some changes will have to be made.
Harris eyed Cecilia. The older woman had looked tired for the last week and claimed it had nothing to do with the ship. The minister? Mr. Smith? The service?
Such as? Oh, I suppose we'll have to have another environmental system to take care of the extra people.
Not really. You have four crew who have asked for separation. Three want to stay here and have applied for employment with Lord Thornbuckle's personnel. The other wants to leave at the next major roads. Then there's a member of your house staff who got pregnant in Hospitality Bay. Bates says he is sure of intent in this case because she had pursued even him. And one of your undergardeners. So, you see, we won't be overloaded.
What changes, then?
Weapons.
Cecilia stared, her mouth opening.
You are a very wealthy woman in a very luxurious and capable ship. Remember that you've already been used by smugglers. What if they want their cargo? What if they want the whole ship? What if they want you? The places you like to travel are not exactly the safest corners of the universe. We need proper armament.
Now that you have gunners, you have to have guns.
So Cecilia had understood, or found someone to translate, the military specialty codes her new crew members carried. Harris cocked her head. Cecilia could hardly claim to be a philosophical pacifist, not after having shot someone herself.
What's the matter, m'lady? Do you think I'll deliberately lead you into danger?
Of course she had done just that, but it was for a good reason. Cecilia moved restlessly, her long fingers tangled together.
No. I don't know. Things have changed. Before, I knew what I was doing. Yes, I was just cruising around having fun, but I knew that was it. Now, when I think of leaving here and going off to Roledra for the qualifying trials, or on to Cabris for the finals, it's not that interesting.
Harris smothered a grin. Better than she'd hoped for.
If it's bothering you, m'lady, I'm sure we can find something to do with this ship.
Something? You mean you still consider me an idle old lady?
You said it, I didn't. But think, you are healthy and tough, and yet you had smugglers using your ship. Don't you have friends equally old and wealthy?
Not really.
Who might have worse parasites aboard than even your Captain Olin? There are other things to hunt besides foxes, and other mounts besides horses.
Which prey is beneath the notice of the regular fleet?
Or too elusive for the less agile. Consider...
How many guns, Harris? What size? And do I get to mention cost?
No more than we need, no bigger than we need, and I will respect your resources only less than your life.
As you did at Tackerman Roads. No, don't defend yourself. I knew what you were doing and agreed. But from now on, I want to be a member of the Hunt staff, not just the owner who pays the fees. You'll have to keep teaching me about my ship, and let me be part of your plans.
You have earned that, and more.
Then let us go down and dazzle the Hunt dinner, and dance the night away. And as for the future, a-hunting we shall go.
And she grabbed Harris's arm and led her down the corridor to the main staircase, where Petrus, correct in formal dinner attire, waited below. Harris saw his expression shift from surprise through amusement to admiration as she and Cecilia came down arm in arm. He offered an arm to each and cocked an eyebrow at Harris.
You settled it, I gather?
She was never a military officer, Petrus. Look at her.
But the tumult of the others interrupted whatever Harris might have said. Already the tall rooms rang with many voices, and more men and women in their formal best came down the stairs. Bunny, looking as foolish tonight as he had at first, chatted with one group after another. Then he caught sight of Cecilia and came over with obvious haste.
So glad you could stay for the ball. We might have a slight inconvenience.
Oh?
Mr. Smith. He's eluded the minister's manservant again.
Harris stared. She hadn't realized Mr. Smith had been loose before. Bunny's mouth smiled, as if they discussed the day's run, but his eyes were cold and angry.
Declared he wasn't going to be sent home like a naughty schoolboy in an old lady's yacht with a battle axe for a captain. As you know, the minister had refused to let me place him under a proper guard, but as the minister does not know, I put a tracer tag on him. He dashed off into the woods, silly twit. Captain Siggin will bring him in, but I'd like to sedate him and send him up in a shuttle right away, if you don't mind. I can isolate him in the station sick bay.
You have every right to lock him in your local jail, on bread and water, stupid boy.
Since there's a standing watch aboard, m'lady, we can have him aboard your yacht straight from the shuttle. Fewer eyes to see, fewer mouths to talk.
Fine. Do it.
Cecilia looked angrier than before. Harris couldn't understand why. Then she changed expression to astonishment and relief. Harris looked over and saw Ronnie, George, Bubbles, and Rafa. With them was a heavier man whose resemblance to George lay more in manner than in feature. Bunny turned and waved them over.
Good to see you up and about. And you, of course, Sir Mahoney.
I have no quarrel with you, Bunny. Don't go formal on me. I'll have to start wondering if I should.
All right, Kevil. Just so you know, I took this very seriously indeed.
I can see George, and I know what happened. That tells me you took it seriously. Your lovely daughter was in it too, I understand.
He patted Bubbles on the shoulder. Harris was surprised at the expression on the girl's face. She had changed, Harris thought, in some way that none of them yet knew. Perhaps not even the girl herself.
And, of course, Ceci's nephew. Those two have never been in trouble alone, or out of it together.
Kevil Mahoney had a trained voice that could carry conflicting messages with ease. Harris watched both George and Ronnie flush, then subside without saying a word. He leaned closer to Bunny.
And Mr. Smith? How is that estimable young man?
He will go home shortly. Transportation has already been arranged.
Ah. Well, to be honest, Mr. Smith's travel arrangements do not concern me, at least not this evening. I'm simply delighted to be here for the festive occasion, with both lads out of the hospital and able to enjoy it.
Kevil Mahoney smiled, bowed slightly, and walked off, leaving the young people behind.
I promised, but did my father?
Enough. It's almost time for dinner, and I will not have it ruined by speculation. Captain Serrano, if I might have the honor of your company.
Harris had not expected this. She glanced at Cecilia, who after all ranked her in every conceivable way these people calculated rank. But Cecilia now looked more relaxed, and simply smiled and nodded. Petrus, after one startled look, offered his arm to Cecilia, who accepted it with another smile. Harris took Bunny's arm and hoped she did not look as confused as she felt. He led her through the crowd, and she could hear the subdued murmurs that must be comments on this unusual occurrence. Harris jumped.
I didn't mean to alarm you, Captain, but this is tradition.
His wife was standing with Buttons. As they made their way into the dining room, she realized that the participants in the recent adventures had been provided with partners that justified their being seated at the head table. Bunny's wife with Buttons, and George with Bubbles, and Ronnie with an elderly lady, and Rafa with an elderly man of the same vintage.
That's my Aunt Trima and my wife's uncle. They're both quite deaf, and they've refused implants. They love coming to a couple of hunt dinners a year. They sit together at the ball afterwards and write each other saucy notes on their compads. Eccentric, but harmless.
Petrus, with Lady Cecilia, certainly had a place at the family table. George's father sat at the far end, with another elderly relation on one side and one of the gawky cousins on the other.
You see the advantages of a reputation for eccentricity and archaicism?
Indeed, yes.
Harris looked down the long dining hall to the trumpeters in their beribboned tunics who were ready to lead in the feast. Most of the guests had found their places, but Bunny waited until even the clumsy soul who overturned his chair had safely reseated himself. Then he nodded at the trumpeters, who lifted their instruments once more. The feast came in. Cecilia reached around Petrus.
It's about as authentic as the fox is, but it's fun.
Bunny winked at her, and Harris began to relax. It could be worse. Would have been worse if Cecilia hadn't told her, if they hadn't told Bunny, if she and Cecilia both had not been good shots. They could all have been dead. She pulled her mind away from that with an effort and made herself enjoy the spectacle. Serving trays loaded with exotic foods whose origin she couldn't even guess, servants in colorful livery, and the music. The food, when she tasted it, drove the last grim thought from her mind.
I hadn't had a chance to thank you. It's been hectic since you got back.
I didn't realize Mr. Smith had been giving trouble.
Although that's not the reason I asked you to come in with me. It may prove convenient to have you here when he's found. If you're sure the transfer to Lady Cecilia's yacht poses no problem.
Not if I have a direct line up.
Of course. My debt to you continues to grow. I don't know if you actually enjoyed the sport, but please consider yourself welcome here any time.
Under the calm expression, Hera sensed tension and even savagery. They ate in silence for some minutes, as the fish course came and went, and slices of roast appeared.
Bubbles says she wants to talk to you.
To me?
An experience like that would change anyone, I understand. But she's been the youngest, the wildest, so of course her change had to be greater.
Did she tell you about it?
Some, not all. She thinks you, because you were military, will understand her better.
Harris could think of nothing socially acceptable to say. She could imagine the sort of thing Bubbles would think she could understand, and she did understand, but not in the way Bubbles would want. Nor did she wish to interfere in this family, especially not now.
She's almost certainly wrong about that, but of course I'll listen to her.
He went on cutting a slice of roast into matching slivers.
I must admit that before I knew you better, you would not have been my choice of confidant for my daughter.
The military woman?
Not exactly. The Serrano Admiralty is well known.
His gaze slid sideways to meet hers. Harris was surprised, and probably looked it.
My family? They think I'm the disgrace. Why should you object to them?
I prefer you.